Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, where we're going to bring you the latest and greatest news and guests from the world of quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm so excited. I have three different sets of guests today, and our first one is a designer that I met probably 10 years ago when I came out to her guild in Wisconsin to do a lecture and some workshops. And Lisa Bonjean of Primitive Quilts, Primitive Gatherings Quilt Shop now, is here, and she's going to talk to us about all kinds of stuff. Mostly, I'm like so excited because she's going to talk wool. And I know those of you who love wool or want to understand wool better, Lisa's going to give us a lot of tips on that. So hi, Lisa. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks, Pat, for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. Now, tell everybody where your shop is in Wisconsin.
Okay, we are located 20 miles south of Green Bay, so it would be east central Wisconsin, right on the top of Lake Winnebago.
Aha. Okay, so everybody going out that way can come and stop in and see your fabulous store. So do you remember when I came out there and met you for the first time?
I sure do. I remember what I made, and it was a basket class with the background was four different backgrounds, and it had this huge basket on it, and it was awesome.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. So why don't you tell me a little bit of your backstory? How did you get into quilting?
Well, I wish I could tell you I grew up with it, because then I couldn't imagine the possibilities that would have happened. But unfortunately, it didn't happen until I was probably about 28 years old. I would think I was at the Y with my boys during swimming lessons. I noticed a woman was hand quilting this patchwork quilt, and I had tied some quilts, but I asked her, how do you know how to cut it all apart and put it all back together? And she told me where to go and hooked me up, and I think I must have been there at 9 o'clock when the door opened that Monday.
Oh, that's so funny. Now, the kind of quilting you do now has a particular look. How did you start out? What kind of quilts did you make when you first started to quilt?
Pretty much, I haven't ventured too far. I think one of the things that happened right away that I made a point of doing is by the time I started making, you know, took my beginning class, did my first quilt, the next quilt that I already made or that I took a class from, I didn't want mine to look like anyone else's. So I was changing things right off the bat. And one of the first quilts my first applique quilts that I did, I put it on this muddy, you know, vintage-looking background because I wanted my Baltimore blocks to look older.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right away, I didn't want that crisp white, and that made a big difference.
Were you the only one doing that in your area at the time?
I think I was because I had actually won a blue ribbon on that quilt because I think it was so different at the time, and I come from a very prolific line of quilters in this area that basically raised me in their guild. So it was quite an accomplishment, and I'm still pretty proud of that quilt. And I think that's the reason I won is because it was different. Not because it was necessarily better. It was different.
Yeah. I know it's funny how when you get in your mind something and you're not afraid to do it, you know, so you went out and made your quilts uniquely you right from the start.
Yeah, that's something I have no problem with is jumping in and being trying to be a little different.
Fabulous. So, you know, what gets you excited? Now, for people who aren't familiar with your style, it's a folk art style, a primitive style. You use a lot of brown, a lot of muted colors, muted reds, muted mustards, tans. So tell me a little bit. Actually, you have a profile also on, I think, American Patchwork and Quilting, the All People Quilt website, so people can go out there and search your name. So, you know, tell me about what makes a design, you know, sort of make your heart go pity-pat, you know, when you go, oh, my gosh, I got to make that. What is it for you?
Now I think it's pretty much I love as many fabrics as I can put into a quilt. So, you know, I love as many pieces, and kind of lately, the smaller, the better. I kind of go from one extreme to the other. I'm either making things really small or really big. And that's kind of, I don't know, I just like the extremes, I guess. So when I see something that's just kind of, you know, a really cool pattern, but yet maybe it has been done, you know, many times, but it's still cool and still interesting, I'll take it, you know, up a notch or down a notch by reducing the scale or making it bigger, you know.
Ah, I like big shapes, too. It's like, ooh, let's see how big can we make that.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about wool, because you have taken, you know, wool is one of your main mediums. Would that be correct? Would you think of it that way?
I think that's pretty much what I'm known for. I think being a shop owner, being a designer, being a wholesaler of wool, it pretty much is my main focus. But, you know, as quilters, we don't like to stick too long in the same thing. We like to venture out. So I can't say I'm solely a wool, you know, person, but I just think that I've tried to make it easier for everybody to obtain wool, whether it be customers or shop owners. I just love it. And to me, the thing is that you might stink at hand applique, but no, everybody can wool applique.
Yes. Yes.
So a lot of people stay away from applique because they're intimidated by it, or they're, you know, they might not be able to turn that fabric as good as their, you know, their friends, but everybody can wool applique.
So let's talk a little bit about technique, because you actually fuse your wool to your background. There's sort of like two schools. Some people like that look, and some people like to keep it looser. So tell me a little bit about how you approach fusing shapes to wool shapes to the background. And you're doing wool on wool often, or wool on cotton, or wool on flannel, right?
Yep. Anything. I don't mind putting wool on anything. Nothing scares me. I think the reason why I like the fusible webbing behind my shapes is because it has something to do with, like, again, how I was raised in the quilting world in my guild. This guild is a very professional guild. They win awards in Paducah. So I think I wanted to do this primitive folk art look, but necessarily not have my workmanship be, you know, primitive in style. So the fusible web kind of holds all the wool fiber together, along with holding it to the background fabric, too. So it's got two pluses for me. So I like to lay out my whole block or my whole border or my whole quilt sometimes with the wool on it and take it along and stitch. I don't just do one layer of shapes at a time, you know, and my project is not full of pins or glue or anything like that. So the fusible gives me a lot of options.
Now, when you're dealing with fusing, you know, heating wool, there are some things you have to be careful of so you don't scorch it, right?
Exactly. So in my patterns, you know, I do bold instructions of, you know, when you're doing fusing to wool, you can use a dry iron. But when you're putting wool onto your background and pressing those appliques down, you need lots of steam. I always tell my students to buy the Rowenta iron with all the little steam holes in it, and you should begin a facial every time you're fusing down those wool appliques.
So do you have to use a cloth? Do you put like a pressing cloth over top of it also?
I do not. I just use the wool. I mean, I'm doing little presses, always keeping that iron moving, little presses.
Okay, so that's probably a key, because I know that people will sort of think of it like cotton and stick the whole thing on there and hold it a little too long, and you can actually scorch your wool if you're not.
Exactly, yes. If your iron has those eight rims around that V, you're going to have eight little holes in the back in your background wool if you don't keep that iron moving. Yeah.
It's not a good look. Trust us. So now that you have everything fused down, for people who haven't tried this yet, we're talking raw edge. So the wool is felted, right?
Yes, felted in the dyeing process. We're using wools that have been prepared in the quilt shops that are pieces. They're not coming off a bolt. If you're buying wool off a bolt, it needs to be felted. So in your quilt shop, you're always going to find felted wool readily available for you to use, and they're even in the kits. I get a lot of questions, you know, is this ready to go? Yes.
Right.
Anything that's
been
hand dyed has been felted, because it's either boiled, you know, right down and ready to go.
Yeah, the whole, it's when you buy it off the bolt that you have to go and prepare it.
Exactly, yeah.
Before you would cut it, because it'll, and then it, there's different weights of wool, different weaves.
Yeah,
so
right. And then,
if you can take, you can, you know, get a weave that's not going to felt even.
Right, yes. So, yeah. There's many, you know, we always look for the 100% hand-dyed wools are your best bet. They're going to shrink the nicest. They're going to have less nylon in them. They're going to just be beautiful to work with. And we are so fortunate to have such wonderful wools to work with. So don't have them in your area, you know, they're available online.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the, you know, with your wools, because you're having them dyed to your specifications, so you know what you're getting every time in your shop.
Exactly, yes. There's a lot of concern now that I've started going south with wool and, you know, moths or bugs or whatever you want to call it. But nowadays the wools have been prepared in the fabric making process to begin with to be moth-proofed. And the wool, right. And I talked to the supplier specifically about this, and they said that's all done while they're, you know, running that fabric and making it. They treat that so it is moth-proof or, you know, chemically treated for that. And one of the misconceptions is the bugs are not attracted to the wool itself. They're attracted to the soil that's in the wool, whether it be the oils from your skin, whether it be the food particles from the, you know, not laundering or something like that. They're not necessarily just aiming at the wool.
Right. You can find that, like, if you've had a coat eaten, it's like the bottom half where you didn't get it dry cleaned at the end of the year.
Yep. Not good.
But that's really great news that now it's treated during manufacturing of the on the bolt. So.
Right. If you're buying new wools, if you're buying recycled wools, I can't, you know, I can't vouch for that. But
yeah. Yeah. You never know what you're getting with recycled wool, but it's a lot of fun to look for.
Oh, yes. And you can make some cool things with it, too.
Yeah. So real quick. I'm not sure I have enough time, so if I don't, we'll get to this when we come back from the commercial. But I want to get you to give us a tip for fabrics when they're running, you know, like the reds that maybe you can't get them set well enough. But we're going to take a break first, okay, Lisa?
Okay, yep.
So when we come back, Lisa's going to give us some tips for keeping wool from running. You are listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Come right back after the commercial.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
We're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm talking to Lisa from the Primitive Gathering Shop. Now, Lisa, what are some tips for bleeding fabrics or wools in particular?
Okay, one of the things to start off with is you can get color out any color wool if you don't treat it right. So if you're if you're working with red on a white, you know, cotton background, and you always have to wash with cold water. But I know sometimes dyers don't totally let the dye absorb into the wool before they pull it out. And one of the things that you can do is you can test it ahead of time if you're going to be working on a light background. Mm-hmm. See, that's one of the reasons why you work dark, so you don't have to have any of those problems. But if you are set on working on white or light cream or something like that, you just test that ahead of time. If you get color out when you're working, if you're rinsing it in cold water, if you get some little bit of color out, you know, add some more vinegar to it, let it sit in there for a while, rinse it out again. But, you know, as long as you don't get that quilt wet, mm-hmm. you're safe. So a lot of wool applique quilts aren't mm-hmm. being used on the bed. Most of them are wall quilts. So, you know, you're pretty much safe. But one of the tips that I can give dyers or anybody who dyes out there is when I dyed my own fabric, which, you know, I have my sister-in-law does that all now, so I don't have to do mm-hmm. that anymore. But what we did is we always dyed red at the end. So mm-hmm. we let that red sit in the pot overnight. And by the time the next day when you came up, that water was crystal clear. Yeah. So everything absorbed in. So that's a good tip for anybody who's hand dyeing out there is to let those sit all night long.
Cool. Very good. Because the reds are probably notorious for being, you know, the ones that
might give you trouble. If you spill, like, you know, hot coffee on your, you know, it's going to bleed because it's warm, you know?
Yeah.
It's warm. So that's unfortunately the only thing. But I can honestly say I have never had any problems with it, so.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good to know. See, get Lisa's wool. So let's talk about your new retreat home.
This
is incredible. We are all so jealous here at American Patchwork and Quilting because we want to come visit.
So where is this
associated to your shop? Is it like next door or down the street?
Oh, I wish it was next door, but it is very close. It is only probably a quarter mile on the same street.
Mm.
So it's very close. Everything that we have here, you know, the shop, the retreat house, my house, our warehouse is all within a mile and a half. So it's very nice and very accommodating. But the retreat house is just awesome. I'm having so much fun meeting quilters from all over. They're flying in. We just had a group from Florida. It's just amazing just how much fun we have there.
So what exactly is the concept? I mean, do people book it? Are you hosting events? Is it a mishmash of different ways people can come?
Yeah, it is a mishmash. I try to do some workshops set in the schedule there where people, if they want me there, you know, for specific instruction for, you know, we usually do like a wool workshop on the weekend and stuff like that, then they can sign up for that. But most of the other time, it's just come and sew and meet new people. And, you know, if I'm home, I'm there. You know, I pop in, I spend time with sewing with them, and I actually have a lot of fun doing it because that's the best part of my job in this whole quilting thing is teaching people and being with people.
Ah, well, you're very good at it, too. You're very natural. You're a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am who I am. I don't try to be somebody I am not. I'm just like everybody else. And, you know, I think that's when they see that, you know, they can relax a little bit and we have a lot of fun and joke around and, you know.
Well, you have pictures of the retreat home on your site. And I am, like, totally curious because, you know, you need to put, like, a note on this one picture. What is this picture with, like, the beds and the cubby holes?
Well, to get the maximum amount of space, we took out all the closets. So you're looking at the master closet in the biggest bedroom where, you know, a twin-size bed fit in there really nice. And if I was staying in that room, that's the one I'd want, the bed.
Well, everybody has to go out to Lisa's site, primitivegathering.us. Is that how your website is? Yeah. And go to the retreat house called The Gathering. And you have to click the pictures. And the one that looks like cubby holes, it looks like on a train or something,
you're talking
Lisa.
You're talking about the lower level. We did berths. So everything is like a little nest.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I thought you meant the one upstairs. But, no, they're built to the wall. They're built with each other. They're kind of – You know, if I could say I was ever on a train, you know, what I would imagine like train berths would be.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and what's nice about them, they have their own little reading light, so you can stay up late and read and not bother any of the other ladies that are in your room. So it's just fabulous. It's just really nice to, because you kind of are with people, but yet you have your own little nest.
Yes, your own little cubby. It's just very, yep, very cute. You've got quilts on all the beds, of course, so it's lovely, and big comfy, yep, chairs. So I wanted to talk about one of the projects you have out on our allpeoplequilt.com website. And the one that's on the website that people can download is Autumn Appliqué, and it's Laura Bonke's version of your quilt, which has the leaves and then the acorn center. How was your original quilt done?
Laura's is a one-block quilt surrounded by the leaf border. Mine was a four-block quilt surrounded by the leaf border. So,
okay,
you know, Laura has lots of quilts to do, so she tries to just make sure all the directions are right. And so she, you know, if she can shortcut it, she does. So it's a great, you know, sample quilt to try if you want to try a little bit of wool applique, because mm-hmm, it's one block and then a simple little leaf border. Mm-hmm. So she gives you a great option to my design. And I can't quite remember back when that my quilt appeared, unfortunately.
That's okay.
But search the archives, you'll find it.
right. And it's great because it's your style. It's, you know, it's your design. It's just this one's done, you know, a little smaller version, because I wanted to point it out because it is a good one to try the wool. Now, when you're doing, we'll go back to the wool here a second. When you're stitching the wool, what is your preferred method of stitching it down? Hand, machine, what stitch?
I love handwork. So I'm hand blanket stitching with Valdani Pro Cottons. Mm-hmm. And because they're hand dyed and variegated just like the wools are. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful to work with. And it's so nice to be able to sit, you know, next to your husband while he's watching TV, and, you know, even though you're not, you know, you're enjoying your project. So,
yeah, handwork is wonderful. That, you know, when some people are like, oh, you know, I can't do handwork, or I've never done handwork, but the wool is really a good way to get into it.
Yes, very portable. You can take it anywhere. One of the big questions that everybody asks me is, how do you get so much done? It's because I always take my sewing with me. So whether mm-hmm. I'm at the doctor's office, a sporting event, sewing night, you know, when you go get together with your girlfriends, mm-hmm. wool is portable and easy, and you don't have to drag along so much stuff. You can drag it along one block at a time, and that's how it gets done.
Yeah, it's amazing. So let's talk about your blog. You have a fun little blog. You're always, you know, you show a lot of quilts. That's really nice.
Yeah, I try to put as much on there as I can about what's going on, where I am, what I'm doing. My goal is to be a little bit more instructional eventually, mm-hmm. to show, you know, a lot more of techniques and stuff that I do. But, you know, that time factor always creeps up on me, and you know, but someday we will have a little bit more time, I think. I'm working on freeing up some of my other commitments to be able to have more fun.
Yeah, well, that's always good. It's always good to have a plan. We always have to have a good plan for that.
Exactly.
So you had a little SOS you had to put out on your blog just before you went to Paducah, didn't you?
Yes. We were leaving Sunday night. And so Saturday, we were leaving Sunday morning to go to Paducah, because we have to go and set up on Monday morning early before anything opens up. And on Saturday night, we got a phone call saying that our hotel is closing due to flooding. And we were staying at Harrah's right across the border into mm-hmm. Illinois. And
yeah.
So I didn't know what to do. So I just thought, well, where else can I get a hold of a whole bunch of quilters that might be going to Paducah? So I put out an SOS saying, hey, anybody got an extra room? Anybody know of anything? You know, and I got a lot of good responses. I really did. So it works for all sorts of things.
I know. It's always amazing, isn't it, what you can accomplish with a blog that you're
exactly.
not even expecting.
Right. So not only do I help them, as they can help me out, too, sometimes when I'm in a bind.
There you go. There you go. So what do you do if you need a jump start, Lisa? You know, if you're sort of stuck on something, or, you know, you need to design something maybe, but it's just not happening for you. What do you do to get that flowing again?
I think I just like to research and just pull out my antique quilts and, you know, look at the fabrics and look at the workmanship and what these women did with so little resources, and just, you know, I just kind of go back to that, and I look at my old quilt books that I've been collecting, and just kind of go back and see if I can get a fresh idea from an old one, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like the old quilts too. I'm also very inspired by looking at what people did before us.
Exactly.
It's amazing. So, yep. What's new for you? What's coming up in the land of Lisa?
Oh, well, I guess what's been on my plate most recent is the designing for Moda Fabrics, which I am totally thrilled about. As a shop
Exciting.
Owner, there's things that, you know, we're looking for that aren't available out there, and they're working very, very well with me, and I think we're going to make a successful team to get some of those things done. And it's just one of the newest things is my new line of flannels that's coming out called Woolen Needle Flannels.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
So, yeah, nice and soft and very, you know, yummy to put the wools on. And even just a piece, you know, normal flannel quilts for us people up here who have winter 9 months out of the year.
You people up north that need the flannel.
Exactly.
So do you have a lot of antique quilts? You were saying you looked at antique quilts.
I do. I've started, you know, because now that when we're at the shows and everybody's out buying their quilt kits and their threads and their patterns, well, you know, when you own a shop, then you don't necessarily do that anymore. So I try to go home with one antique quilt every show.
Oh, wow. What a great thing.
Isn't that a great idea?
I love that idea. I look at them. I haven't been taking them home yet, but...
Well, I just figure that, you know, if I work really hard, I need to support the economy too, so I need to go out there and buy one to take home.
There you go. That's a good plan, Lisa. So I thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I couldn't wait to do it. I was very excited about it, and I hope everybody, I see them out there and in the shows or wherever else I may be.
All right. This was Lisa visiting us from primitivegatherings.us. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. My next guest I had the pleasure of meeting and hanging out with a little bit last year, Kim Deal. She's a fabulous, fabulous designer that all of our readers at American Patchwork and Quilting just love to pieces. Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Hi, Pat. I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. You're coming here from Idaho today, right? Or are you on the road?
Idaho, where we had a little dusting of snow earlier today, just to mix things up for spring.
Oh, well, yes. What's a little snow to do with your spring flowers, right? They just look better.
Well, we'll find out.
Yes. Ah, I would be screaming with the snow. I'm down in Virginia, so, you know, we have a little less snow down here, none at all, which is a good thing. So tell me, Kim, you actually got involved with American Patchwork and Quilting in sort of a unique way. How did you end up starting to submit designs?
Well, it is a little bit of a unique story. It was the late 1990s, and I was out at a sidewalk sale with a friend and happened across a sampler quilt pattern that American Patchwork and Quilting had put out, and it just literally called my name when I walked by it. And I picked it up, went inside, had the ladies, you know, show me everything I needed. I'd never even seen or heard of a rotary cutter before.
Oh.
And went home, worked through the steps. I had nobody to show me anything, but I've always kind of been the kind of person that, you know, if something doesn't turn out, that's one way not to do it, you know. So I wasn't afraid of failing. Went through the steps, finished it up, and I knew that I had found what I had been looking for, that I was just hooked on quilting. And shortly after, began subscribing to American Patchwork and Quilting, and one of the very first issues I got announced that they were having a Pieces of the Past quilt challenge. So having made a whole whopping one quilt and was in the midst of a second, I decided to go ahead and enter it. And I was very, very fortunate that with my third quilt, I ended up winning that contest.
Oh, wow.
And I know, and I don't know that I would have the courage to do that now. But at the time, you know, when you don't know enough to know you don't know anything, you're fearless.
Yeah.
I entered and had the chance on several occasions to visit with Heidi Kaizen, who was their editor at the time. And I just kind of screwed up my courage one day and asked if I could submit some designs. And she told me to go right ahead. I think I sent in about six designs, hoping that there would be one, you know, that she liked. And would you believe they ended up taking every one of them? And so with my fourth quilt, then I began publishing my designs. So it was really kind of a fun thing. It was almost like it found me more than I found quilting.
It's like a little Cinderella story.
Yeah, I guess so.
It really is. You found your prince. That was it. Wow. You know, and your designs are really so well loved by the readers. It's incredible. You know, if it's in there, you're going to hear about it. It's like, oh, Kim has another design. Got to have it. So let's talk a little bit, Kim, about how you approach sort of making a quilt. You know, what is your process when you get started on a new design?
Well, the main thing for me is to first come up with a design, and I find that sometimes I go in streaks. You know, sometimes I'll have this just kind of creative mojo going on, and all these little pictures are kind of dancing around in my head, and I hope that doesn't make me sound slightly nutty. But once I settle on a design, then I love putting it down on graph paper. You know, I tried, I think, one time trying to be spontaneous and just seeing where the wind blew me, and when it's 3 a.m. and you're laying in bed wondering what the next step's going to be. You know, I've decided right then that spontaneity was highly overrated. So I always kind of have a plan. I work in just kind of, you know, everything is to scale, and I work in values, light, mediums, darks. But I always feel free to change things as I go, just in case they don't work out, you know, quite as I had hoped they would. But that's really the process I go through. It's very simple, very straightforward. straightforward. I love things that use scraps. You know, I grew up with my grandmother's quilts on my bed, and a lot of times in her quilts, if I would look at them, even the tiniest little squares would have been pieced together so that she had enough fabric. So I really
That's really cool.
It really is, and I love that our quilting is just rooted, you know, in that tradition, so I try very hard to honor it, and many of the things I do then are scrappy.
Now, you have a project called the Pink Flower Table Runner that's out on allpeoplequilt.com. And the one thing I like about it is a scrappy quilt, and we're talking about scrappy quilts, but it's also small and it's scrappy and it's so well held together. I find that sometimes people have trouble with a smaller piece making it scrappy. Do you have like any tips for that?
Well, I learned very early on to just sort of trust my instincts, but to really put it in simple terms, what I learned to do is decide right up front when I'm, you know, thinking about my color scheme, do I want to use muddy, muted prints, or do I want to go more clear, bright colors? And I really have found that if you make that distinction right up front, you can put very nearly any colors together. So if I'm going the muddy muted and I've got these kind of burnished golds and just kind of mossy greens and salmon-y, you know, pinks, if I were to throw in a bright lemon yellow, it just wouldn't work. But if you stick to that very loose guideline, it really is very easy to make nearly any project come together and work in just dang near any color that you want.
Oh, that's a fabulous tip. That is really, really good, because I know people struggle with that because they want to use a lot of fabrics and keeping that value.
Well, you do, and I think also one thing that I've really learned to trust is when I look at my quilt and my selection of colors, if I have to ask myself if I like it, then it's probably not the right mix, because you've probably found that when you come across that perfect blend, you look at it and you love it. So I've really learned to listen to that and trust that.
So how are you pulling fabric then? Are you, you know, what is your process there?
Well, what I do, again, it's very kind of casual. I will go to my stash and, you know, pull everything that I think will fit into this kind of loose idea I've got for a color scheme. Then what I do is I just stand back. I begin just tossing my fabrics down on the floor in a little bit of a pile. And once I have them just kind of in this jumble, no certain order, I'll step back a little bit and have a look. And if there's one that's really an obvious kind of a bullseye, you know, fabric that my eye goes to, I'll shift it, because, you know, if you put it next to something different, it may work a little better. So if I've shifted it a couple of two, three times and it still is just a little bit of kind of my wallflower piece, then I'll just go ahead and pull it, because there's no badge of honor for making it work. But I find that that is just the best way to see how everything works together, just that little bit of the distance and just looking at them as a group.
Ah, I like that. I like putting them on the floor because it gives you a distance, but you can still pile them up.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can tell it's not a very fancy method. I very rarely at that point use a design wall, but just, you know, quick, easy, take a step back, and you know at a glance if you're liking what you've got going on.
Cool. Now, we had a question that somebody left for you. It's an easy one.
Good.
But, yeah, they're curious. You know, what type of battings do you like to use in your quilts?
Well, that is an easy question. I exclusively use a batting by, Fairfield Processing Company. It's called Soft Touch. And Fairfield was actually one of the sponsors of that very first contest that I entered with American Patchwork and Quilting. So I thought, you know, I should give this batting a try. I happened upon this Soft Touch, which is a very fine, thin, white cotton batting. There's no scrim. It's needle punched. And the beauty of it is that it just needles perfectly if I'm doing hand quilting, but my machine quilter also loves it. And it's just got this nice, light, soft drape, but it's enough to keep you warm. So it is the only batting that I use.
Nice, nice. And you answered the other question because somebody wanted to know if your quilts were hand quilted or machine quilted, or do you mix it up?
And it sounds I mix it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I learned very early on that once I had deadlines, you know, I had to get a little bit quicker making my quilts. So the majority of them now are machine quilted, but very often I'll have the bulk of them or the backgrounds machine quilted, and then I'll go in around my appliques or on top of my blocks and add some hand quilted accents, because I find that's where your eye really goes to when you look at the quilts, and you get the most bang for your buck. And, you know, it used to be that I did a lot of needle turn, but I decided a long time ago that if I had time for handwork, I would rather put it into my quilting where you're going to see it, you know, as opposed for me to putting it into my applique where your goal is not to see it.
Ah,
so if I'm doing that hand stitching, I want to get full credit for that.
Yeah, I did all those stitches. Darn it. Look at them.
That's right.
So, what's coming up for you, Kim, in the future?
Oh, I've got so much on my plate, but that's a really nice thing because I think about 5 or 6 years ago, I was just home sewing in my jammies and nobody really cared what I was doing. I am working on a book right now for Martingale & Company that's due out next May. It's called Simple Charm, and it's a book of scrap quilts, which are my very favorite, so I'm really excited about that. And then right on the heels of that, early fall, I have another book coming out that I'm co-authoring with my technical editor at Martingale & Company. Her name is Lori Baker. And we had this idea that we thought would be so much fun. We both, you know, realized that we would rather be quilting than in the kitchen cooking. So we put together a book of quick quilts and really simple, fast recipes, and many of them can be made in your crock pot, so you can sort of be cooking while you're sewing. And then I've got a fabric line coming out with Henry Glass and Company in November, and I'm very excited about it. It is called Walk in the Park, and it's kind of a mix of prints that some look vintage, some look a little more modern, and when you put them together, they very much reflect my style of quilting, where if you use the line, it looks like you went and raided your scrap basket, but everything works together. So it takes the guesswork out of doing those scrappy projects, but they don't look overly planned and coordinated like you just agonized over them. And then, also, I have a quilt coming out with American Patchwork and Quilting in the spring called Twilight Gatherings that will be one of those quilts that combines really simple patchwork with real fun kind of floral blooming flowers.
Well, we are looking forward to it, Kim. And would you believe our time is up?
Well, I can believe it. It just went so fast. I enjoyed visiting with you.
Thank you, Kim Deal. You can visit Kim at kimdeal.com. And I hope to talk to you soon, Kim. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
Bye. Come back after the break to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch-regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I have to tell you, my first introduction to our next guest was at an event called The Creative Circle with American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. It was held at their offices, and they brought in a lot of people. And the most exciting thing was that I got to hear Weeks Ringle and Bill Kerr from Fun Quilts give a keynote speech about creativity. And they were just amazing and awesome to listen to. And then the best part was Week stayed on with us for the next couple of days, and her table was right behind mine. So we had a chance to really talk and create together and be on all these teams. So I'm excited to have them here because together they are not only business partners, husband and wife, but they run Fun Quilts. And Bill, you know, has this little job on the side where he's sort of like an art professor out there at the Dominican University. So hi, Weeks and Bill. How are you?
Hi, Pat.
Hello, hello. We're doing well.
Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, it's exciting. I haven't seen you for a little while. I was unfortunate that we didn't get to meet up in Cincinnati, but I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, everybody.
Yep.
Things are well now. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. When the crud comes through, it's like the, you know, you hate when that happens. So do you guys remember that event at the first Creative Circle?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? It was a really big deal.
It was a delight to have the chance to meet so many of you wonderful creative people. And I was actually quite jealous because I was there to deliver that keynote talk with Weeks. And then I had to go home. But last year, I got to go back for the creative part. So that was a blast.
Oh, that's good. I kind of felt bad for you, Bill, you know.
It was they made it up to last year, Pat. Don't feel too sorry for him.
Okay,
no,
I won't feel
kidding?
Too sorry about him.
I felt so... what's the word? Not intimidated, but just, you know, giving a keynote address to you and Darlene Zimmerman and Alex Anderson and Marty Michelle and Valerie Wells. I mean, you know, it was just, we give a lot of talks, but we had never given one to such an accomplished group of people in our field. And it was, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what we could say that would be inspiring, you know. So it was an unforgettable time.
Well, you knocked it out of the park for me. I mean, it was amazing. Why don't you tell me first about your company, Fun Quilts, because it's a little different than what a lot of us do in the quilt industry where we design patterns. You do a little bit different take on your quilt business.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed the diversity of the business itself. If you had told me 12 years ago when we started Fun Quilts that the business and the growth of it would be as creative as the art, I wouldn't have believed you. But now we started out as designers doing commissions for individuals and public commissions around the country and around the world, and then slowly eased into this world of hobby quilting, which we discovered and loved.
You know, it's about we have kind of three businesses. There's the business that we make, like today we're both working on commissions for a private client in New York, which are finished quilts. And then we have the hobby world where we make books and design fabric and teach and lecture and that kind of thing. And then we also have this line of blankies that we design and sell for developmentally disabled people in Chicago as part of a job training center. And so it's a small part of our business, but it is an important part of our business.
It's meaningful, and I think that's a wonderful part because we get to design for the abilities of these people. And I think as designers, we also do design work for manufacturers, and it's always fun trying to put all those pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah, you guys do, I think, an excellent job of the diversity of your business that way. When you came into, like, the pattern side of it, it was exciting because your look is, it's very clean lined. It's very, I would call it a little bit more contemporary than the traditional patchwork. So I think that that was a great addition. Your work has been a great addition to, like, American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine and just, you know, patterns and books in general.
Thank you. And they've been wonderful in helping cross over to an audience that, you know, we try to do work that is contemporary and of our time, but still quite functional and something that people want to live with and love. You know, there's modern quilting that's kind of far out, and there's modern quilting that's just a refreshing new take. And that's what we try to do.
Well, you know, you do have a, there's a pattern people can download. It's the picture is not your version. It's Laura's take on your version, but it's called Topsy Turvy. So, it's a triangle quilt. And I really liked that concept of the triangle quilt. Can you tell me a little bit about how, you know, like I've never made a piece to triangle. You know, are there any little tips you can give people to be successful with that?
Well, you know, it's really like, piecing any other straight line. You know, I think sometimes people are overly concerned about things being on the bias or things not being on the bias. And, you know, whenever there are things on the bias, what we suggest to people is that they, because if you're going to cut a triangle, something's going to be on the bias.
Right.
So if we try to encourage people to not handle it too much, to know, don't like play with it, you know, because
yes,
it will stretch out. But I think having a good iron is extremely important to keep everything flat and to stack everything flat. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, we do a lot of work with triangles or with circles. And you really, anytime you're cutting against the grain, you want to make sure that things are flat and that things are not. Don't hang them. Do you know what I mean? Because then they will stretch out with gravity. But if you stack things flat on the table, I think you'll find it very, very similar to piecing a square or something like that.
Yeah. So not handling it is going to be really the key. People should.
I think so. You know, because anything that's cut on a bias is going to stretch a little bit, and the more it's handled, the more it will be likely to stretch. Mm-hmm. But we've made several versions of that quilt, and I don't recall ever having any problem with any stretching or that kind of thing.
We tend to be very careful about just minimizing handling. Weeks and I were just collaborating on a quilt that's 9 feet long, made up of finished 1-inch strips. And you don't want that to distort.
No. Holy cow.
So it does require careful craftsmanship, but the reality is with just careful time and not overhandling it, you can have a beautiful finished piece.
Well, I love the shape.
We're at workshops and we'll see people sort of throw fabric in a pile or throw their pieces in a pile.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that typically. We kind of fold things neatly because things will stretch if they're not kept flat.
Which isn't to say that we're perfectly organized.
No.
If it's our studio, we work efficiently, but we have lots of piles. They're just flat.
They're just flat piles. Okay, good. I started to worry about you. I thought you were like perfect or something. Yeah, we can't have that. Okay, so tell me a little bit about fabric and what, because I think the two of you look at fabric in a unique and a uniquely you way. So how do you view fabric? It's a kind of strange question.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times there are some quilts where we start off inspired by the fabric and then we design around a grouping of fabrics, but it's never rarely one collection of fabrics. We mostly love to work on unexpected combinations. So we're working on a quilt now for American Patchwork and Quilting that has some Kay Fassett fabrics in it and it had some Amy Butler fabrics in it, In the same quilt, there are also some Thimbleberry's fabrics in there, and there are some Jo Malone fabrics in there. And what we're trying to do is not, you know, I think there can be a kind of categories of fabric in the way that they're divided up in shops. As you know, here are the reproduction, Civil War reproduction fabrics, and here are the modern fabrics, and here are the kind of country fabrics, and here are the novelty fabrics. You know, I can kind of see that as being a little bit different. But a lot of times, we find that the most interesting color combinations or the most interesting fabric combinations are by mixing up collections and looking for those unexpected combinations.
And I think in our latest book, Quilt Made Modern, Weeks designed a quilt called Double Dutch that takes the Feedsack reproduction fabrics and marries them with just a bold tone-on-tone and puts it in a contemporary kind of stylized block. And you look at it and you realize, wow, when I'm using reproduction fabrics, I don't have to make a reproduction quilt. It can have a totally new life. And that's the unexpected that we strive for. We never want our quilts to be dependent on specific fabrics per se, but on ideas.
But, you know, it's funny because when I went into the quilt shop, usually we buy most things wholesale, but I went into the quilt shop to get small amounts of some Feedsack, and a lot of them were Darlene's fabrics, some Feedsack prints. And the person at the shop knew who I was, and she said, I can't believe you're using these fabrics. Like, you know, and you're a modern quilter. And I said, well, you haven't seen what I've done with them yet.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Hold on to your seatbelts. Oh, my God.
They're going to look different, you know. And so we can kind of, we can think outside of the way that, you know, the designer used them and maybe the sample quilt that you see in the shop and give them a new life in kind of other in other ways. And that to us is a very interesting challenge rather than just saying, oh, all these fabrics were designed together so I can't introduce anything else.
Well, you know, you guys are so amazing. Tell everybody the name of your book again, because believe it or not, we're almost done.
Oh, Quilts Made Modern.
And that book is out already.
Yes, that came out in November.
It's already gone into its second printing.
Oh, awesome for you. That's fabulous.
Yeah, well, thanks to all of our wonderful fans and readers. And we've been delighted that they've been so happy with it.
Well, I appreciate both of you being here, Weeks Wrinkle and Bill Kerr of Fun Quilts.
Well, thank you so much, Pat, for this opportunity to talk to all your listeners.
We'll hope to see you at Market.
Yes, we'll see you there. We'll see you at the trade show. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
So you have been listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Next week, come back because we have a really, really fabulous show. I am going to be going to the trade show in Salt Lake City, and there I will be interviewing all kinds of people. And we're going to put together some clips and some interviews from the show floor for our next week's broadcast. I'll be having editors at American Patchwork and Quilting editors Elizabeth Tinzinger and Jill Mead with me, plus several of the shop owners from Quilt Sampler magazine. So please go on out to allpeoplequilt.com for more tips, free patterns, and techniques, including videos. And I'm your host again, Pat Sloan, and we'll see you next week here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.